Howdy, folks, and welcome to another Classics episode. That's right. In honor of one of your hosts' birthdays, I'm not saying who, but one of our hosts' birthdays, we are airing one of our classic episodes. That's episode 27, in which we go into a great deal of depth and talk for, if you can believe it, almost 2 hours and 40 minutes about 1980s Flash Gordon. It's, of course, 1980, the year when both of us were unleashed upon this planet. Or, I mean, you could probably put it in a more positive way, but, you know, that's what we're going with. Next week, we'll be back with a brand new episode, but until then, enjoy one of our early episodes. See if you can spot the differences. They are myriad. Anyway, we hope you enjoy. See you next week.
So how was your holiday, your winter break, or whatever you want to call it, your holiday festivities? How did that go?
Yeah, they went. I got a lot of fat loot.
Heck
lots
yeah.
Lots of fat loot, yeah. Swords and comics and puzzles and posters and...
Jeez, that sounds incredible.
And socks.
Yeah, I've got... I mean, it won't be... It's not Christmas without without socks.
Yeah, no. It was good. Yeah, quieter, obviously, but I made...
Sure, yeah. Smaller.
Prime rib and shit. Yeah, it was good. How about you?
Not bad. We didn't really do that much in the way of gifts. We each, me and my wife each got each other some stuff. I don't want to brag or anything, but mostly I donated a fair amount of money to the Los Angeles Food Bank and food banks across the country. You know, it's a season of giving after all.
Yeah, so anyway, I bought some shit. I bought Tanya a hot toy. So, fuck you and your altruism.
Yep. That's the right response. Robin, shut up about all your charity work. I hate it. Shut up.
Yeah, thanks for making me feel like a scumbag. Good on you.
It was a trap.
Cue the theme song.
Pop Saga, you know we keep it groovy. We talking cartoons, books, TVs, and movies. A couple of nerds, but got style. We so cool. Pop culture, talking new and old school. Yeah, you should know we love hip-hop. From the roots, Talib, shout out to Pharaoh Munch. We giving you what you want. It don't get no live. Ain't no doubt we got you. This is Pop Saga. Let's go. Oh yeah, you heard right. This is a lifestyle. Welcome to the nerd life. Pop Saga.
Hello and welcome to Pop Saga. While this may be a new year, we are still the same smooth, full-body podcast you have grown to love. Today we'll be talking about the 1980 film Flash Gordon. I had to, sorry. I apologize. Directed by Mike Hodges, written by Lorenzo Simple Jr., starring Sam Jones as Flash Gordon, Melody Anderson as Dale Arden, Ornelia Multi as Princess Aura, Max Von Sydow as Ming, Timothy Dalton as Prince Baron, and the true star of the film, Brian Blessed, as Prince Volton. As always, I am joined by Hawk Person Fortun, and my name is Jauntus, and I didn't think about it when I wrote it, but Forrest made me think that it sounds like jaundice, and I don't mean it that way. I meant like colitis, but I was not going to bother to fix it, so, because I'm not rewriting this stuff. Anyway, please join us while we into this film. There you go.
Fantastic. Doesn't jauntice seem like some like how somebody's grandpa would pronounce jauntice?
Yeah,
he's got the jauntice.
Yeah, oh no, Oh, no. And I didn't even mean it that way. So that's how I know innocent shit could happen from the best intentions. I was like, yeah, Jontas, because it's like Clytus or whatever. And that's perfect. He's like the coolest dude looking dude in this whole film, played by fucking Lobot himself. Like,
yeah.
You know, I was like, I have to be this guy. And then you pointed that out, and I was like, well, fuck it. We're doing it live, kind of. So I was like, I'm not changing it. Not whatsoever.
Mm-mm. I mean, you could have been Prince Jorin?
No.
Jorin? See,
I thought about that, and I hated his name from the jump when I heard it. I was like, Baron with an A? Get out of here. But, you know, if your name is Baron with an A and an I instead of an O, I apologize, but didn't suit Timothy Dalton. Didn't.
No, he was in a different movie. Everyone is in a different movie in this movie. 1980s Flash Gordon.
That's more than you'd get from. Not playing that.
We're never giving you any more of that. So stop asking.
Yeah, and I get DMs about it. They're like, "Come on, man, play like 4 seconds of it." I'm like, "No, no, no.
I don't think so."
You are. That's all you're getting.
If you want to hear the whole thing, you'll have to go. Almost anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
Just type it into Google.
I mean, shit, at this point, wait for, like, a commercial to come on. I'm pretty sure it'll be there, or one of their songs will be. That'd be funny if that was the only commercial. It was just all like,
Fresca that slush in the bottom of your trash can with combination.
That was it.
I wouldn't put it past Fresca to do something like that.
That's probably all they could afford. I mean, it's Coke, but they don't make it anymore, so.
They don't?
Yeah, apparently they're taking that shit off the shelves again. Like, the first time wasn't enough to kill it.
It's like it Jeez. Takes, Is there anything COVID won't take from us?
Shit. No.
The one good thing.
Yeah, the one good thing is they got rid of Fresca. Everything else is pretty garbage.
Well, we took a week off there. How did that feel?
It felt strange to be...
like something was missing. But we're back now.
Yeah, I was like, I'm filled with a bunch of asinine ideas about movies, and I need to be able to share them with the public. And then, you know, I got over that. Cyberpunk, everything was fine.
And then I forgot about it. Yep. Yeah. But it's good to be back. Back again. Pop Saga's back. Tell a friend. Fucking tell a friend. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. For God's sakes, please tell a friend.
Oh, don't get sued for that either. Shit. Yeah, no, it's good to be back. Happy to be talking about Flash Gordon. I figure this should be a film that we check off of the list of pop culturedom and pass judgment on whether it really deserves to be there or not.
You chose this one.
I did.
What? Why?
So why? Why? Well. So, I chose this one originally because in December, it came out like December of 1980, and I was like, well, it's close enough to, it's, you know, 40th anniversary, so I just felt it was, you know, time we talk about it now versus like, you know, 2 or 3 years from now. I was like, well, it's 43rd anniversary. Obviously, it's more than 40, but it just doesn't sound as impressive. So I figured we should talk about it closer than later. Yeah, I just thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about it, go through it since it was 40th. Long story short, or short story long, as the old acting teacher used to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a... It's definitely a movie that was important to people. I think you can... You see that. I think certainly Seth MacFarlane made several references to it in the movie Ted, and it was obviously an important movie to him. To me, it was weird. I was such a Star Wars kid. I was so into Star Wars that I totally missed this one. I don't know what happened, but I didn't see it until... I feel like I saw it like this... Maybe not this decade, but like from in the early aughts, maybe for the very first time. And I thought for sure it had been made in like 1963. Like, I didn't even look it up. it was like no. Wow, this is like not bad for so like this is one of those really old ones.
Yeah, this must be when Technicolor was just invented.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I was shocked to find out it came out in 1980.
Yeah. I mean, oh, holy, like, you felt like someone watched Empire, and, I mean, I guess these things must have been filmed at the same time, but there's a whole part where I was like, wow, did they go to the Dagobah scene and shoot some shit real quick?
Right, yeah, did they, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a dig on the Dagobah trees, if you think those, have parody.
Well, no, I mean, like, maybe they went when they were breaking. They were like, hey, guys, are you done
with
this
set? Don't
break
that swamp.
Yeah, well, we already tore half of it down. It doesn't have anything. Oh, no, this is perfect.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, we're going to put a bunch of smoke machines in there. We're going to put a bunch of potting soil in that water.
Yeah, we're going to film this shit in, like, 4 hours. We got this covered.
Hey, Timothy, who's got those green lights? Who's got those green gels?
Timothy, baby, we need you in your Peter Pan outfit. Come here, Peter. Come here, Timothy. Come here, Timothy, baby. Sam, gonna need you to just jump in the water. Okay, let's go.
Okay, boss. No, just kidding, Sam Jones. You're great. Yeah. So I have no sort of nostalgic connection to this movie, and. I will say that I watched it with my wife and she enjoyed the costumes, and I have to say I enjoyed the costumes too. We'll get into it, but I think there are some things that this movie does well. Just being watchable isn't one of them. It was the kind of movie that I started and I was like, maybe I want to like break this up into like a couple viewings, and then I was like, don't do that. Just get it over with.
Yeah, I kind of, I paused, took a good about 2 hour break. I think the movie's about an hour and a half long. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to go, what's on the YouTube?
Yeah. No, this movie is 2 hours long.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember. Oh, yeah, it's about an hour 50. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, here's something that I thought was fun. Right off the bat, Lorenzo Semple Jr. making his second appearance on Pop Saga in, you know, a little under a month, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think he was the writer of those Batman episodes that we reviewed, or at least one of them.
He was. He was.
And,
the first couple.
Yeah, and I feel like that comes through in the movie.
Well, you know, like when the director, Mike Hodges, is quoted as saying a $27 million most improvised movie of all time. Like, I mean, it kind of shows. It just kind of shows.
Yeah, what's weird, too, is the, you know, this was obviously, like, a passion project for Dino De Laurentiis, And if you're not familiar with him, he's like a prolific Italian director and the, I want to say, grandfather of Giada De Laurentiis, the famous TV chef and possessor of far too many teeth.
I saw Dino De Laurentiis, so I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, Mike Hodges, who's that? And then I realized he directed part of the Omen 3, but then stopped halfway through.
Oh, you mean that movie that there's like two versions of?
Yeah. And then I was just like, that's cool. What else has he done? And then an episode of The Hitchhiker. Okay.
All right.
Then that was really it. And I was like, oh, well, good for him. Oh, he did the original Get Carter, I guess, with Michael Caine. I don't have a Michael Caine, but that's close enough to it, right?
Michael Caine.
Yeah. No, sir. Nope, don't have it. I am Michael Caine.
I promise you, you'll... No, I can't do it. Yeah. Everyone seems to have a Michael Caine. I don't got it. I don't got it.
I don't want it. Actually, I do. I think that'd be a pretty good one.
I think you could get there. I think that with a just listen to Michael Caine for like 10 seconds, I think you get there.
The size of a tangerine. The size of a tangerine. Nope. All right, anyway.
But I haven't. Master Wayne, I haven't.
Do you want to take your Cali Red down a trip on Flash Gordon Lane?
Let's do it. Let's talk about... Let's stop procrastinating and actually talk about Flash Gordon.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we're doing. Because reasons.
Sure. Yeah. So this movie starts with a cold open. I did not remember that. And I think there's a good reason, because this cold open is fucking bonkers. I'm bored. How about this planet? Cool. I've got a bunch of lights that... I guess are just for every planet. Hot hail. Let's do some of the hot hail.
Yeah, the hot hail. That'd be where I would draw the line. Zarkov, I'm doing what Zarkov did just to stop a motherfucker from shooting hot hail at me.
Yeah.
Especially since the hot hail is like apparently moon rocks. It's like, so you're not even doing anything. It's just the moon breaking apart.
Yeah, Is that just a meteor shower? Isn't that, like, what the heck is hot hail? I wrote to myself, what the hell is hot hail? And then just a note to myself, look it up. I didn't. Spoiler alert, I did not do that.
I think hot hail in real science would just be steam? I don't know. I don't think hail could be hot, or it would be like a volcano erupting.
Yeah, I don't think that works. It's just a really weird cold open that it's just like, it's, you don't know who it is yet. It's just like a weird ass target, that is like over a high school diorama, version of Earth. And he uses his ring to push various buttons to cause natural disasters. Yep. And I don't think it's ever really properly explained how, but he can do it. He can also shoot himself at a plane.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he did do that.
He did. Ming has that type of power. I mean, you know, look, I don't want to bury the lead. This was Max von Sydow, and, he used his power for evil this time around, and he proceeded to shoot himself into an airplane somehow. Just an image.
Yeah, so now we get to see what Lor Senteca was up to before he got the map to Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, he is in a real dark place, I guess. Yep.
He was just... doing his thing on Planet Mongo.
I do appreciate that every unit of measurement has Mongo or Ming in it.
Right.
I mean, I guess, you know, if I ruled, you know, if I had kids or something, I'd be like, no, 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 no. That is 3 John Tall.
You're going to have to go to your room for 3 Mongos. When we finally get the credits, the opening credits to this film, we have the awesome Queen song overlaid on some real cheesy business. Now, I'm aware that comic book movies or movies based on comic books since then have employed a similar technique, which is to show some, like, panels from the comics. But they went full on motion graphics for some of this, like actually animating some of it. And it looks like they had like maybe 5 drawings they could use, and they just used them over and over and over again with different treatments, of course.
Like flipped them around, turned them upside down, zoomed out very far. Yeah, this was weird. And I thought it was doubly weird that it was also mixed in with the footage of, like, volcanoes erupting and, like, hurricanes.
Right.
But it was either all stock footage or something else. So it, like, I thought the comic book parts actually looked pretty high fidelity compared to the actual stuff that was going. And the whole time you're just kind of getting the, you gotta wait a second for this part, but, you know. Maybe it'll start playing. We'll just keep talking. Oh, there you go. I swear I cut that out. I promise. You're just getting this. And you're just like, okay. And you're like, all right. Savior of the universe. And you're like,
so already the theme song has spoiled the movie.
Yeah, like if you weren't sure what he was going to do, now you know he's the savior of the universe, because you know he is nothing but a man. That's just one of the lyrics.
Oh no, we'll find out. We'll talk about it when it becomes time. But yeah. Flash Gordon has powers, and we'll talk about them. Yeah, we get through this kind of corny. It's corny as hell. I mean, I think that some of the comic book stuff kind of works, but the designs they did, with maybe the exception of Ming and a few of the other characters, really kind of deviated from the original serials and comic books. So it just kind of serves to remind you, if you're a fan of those comic books, that you're not going to really be seeing that. Yeah,
honestly, I think if they didn't have the parts of Earth showing the volcanoes and stuff, I think the comic art would have been better. I felt like the live action stuff is what brought it down.
And yeah, I think the comic stuff veers between being very cool and like really corny. Like when they do the sort of weird embossed effect and just have it sort of fly across the screen with like a light trail, that's like terrible. But then when they do it, like when they you almost want to say, did they invent it, the motion graphics, like, intro scene? Because, like, the way that they take the comics and sort of animate them and bring them to life in some of the parts I thought was really cool. But in general, like you said, that the live-action parts and the parts with, like, the weird 70s embossed BS kind of brought the quality of the intro down for me a little bit. Also, speaking of bad quality, when it finally shows the title treatment to Flash Gordon, yikes, what is this? Is this the first pass? What is happening?
Yeah. No es bueno.
It looked really rudimentary in that sort of delightfully corny and nostalgic to some, I'm sure, 70s way, where it's like got like the rounded edges and it's sort of obviously hand hewn. But we'll find out later that that must be a creation of Ming's artisans, because it is spoiler alert, it is printed on Flash Gordon's very lavish tombstone. For a treasonous prisoner, he is given the kind of burial you would expect for a pharaoh, but I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here.
Yeah, I can see us wanting to run through this quick.
We'll keep it brief. But here's one thing I wanted to talk about real quick. When they open up on that airstrip and Flash is waiting in his car, I guess for the plane to take off, they're at Dark Harbor, the most ominous sounding vacation spot anywhere. He looks so uncomfortable. I don't know how they told him to sit in that car, but he looks like he's just like sitting forward and like twisting to the side in a very unnatural way.
Well, I think because dude was too big to fit in that car comfortably. It's like that. I don't remember which car it was. I wanted to look on the side of it to see if it said Le Car. That's how small it was. And I mean, the only reason why he's in the car is so you could hear the radio talk about the goddamn hot hail.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you named it already. Okay. And then when the hail's raining all about, well, I guess it was regular hail at that point, Flash gives rat's ass about it. He's like, I don't care, I'm going to keep reading this newspaper, kind of. While
yeah, it's over. A weird like transition where it shows this hot hail like come pouring down on his car, and you think it's going to mean anything. And then it's sort of like some of it sort of is steams a little bit, but it kind of goes from looking like regular hail to straight up meteors. And meteors were on like Ming's dashboard, his natural disaster dashboard. So did he just switch to meteors and the hot hail was just like a one hit wonder, or what is the deal?
Dale got at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and started walking towards the most rinky dinkiest airplane of all time.
Yeah, just Flash and Dale on this airplane, which is weird. Because at first you think they must be like she must be his agent, or we're at the same retreat, but they just happen to be on the same flight. There's no reason really beyond. They were both vacationing in Dark Harbor.
Oh, it sounds like such a lovely place to visit.
Oh, totally. Do you know if that's from the original serial or something? Because I was like, oh, how foreboding. And then nothing comes.
Flash Gordon, I love for the pulpiness, but I know almost nothing about the original serial or original comics or anything like that.
Yeah. Basically, what I know is that it influenced a lot of the things that I love, and I've tried to sort of go back and visit it, but to be honest, I'd rather watch the episodes of Voyager that have that holodeck program that is basically based on Flash Gordon.
Or, I don't know, Star Wars. I just would rather watch Star right. Wars. Be like, oh, this is much better Flash Gordon.
I found it a fun little bit of trivia about this movie. Originally, George Lucas came to Dino De Laurentiis and he wanted to make Flash Gordon, and Dino would not sell him the rights, so he's like, okay, alright, I guess I'll make Star Wars.
I'll make something else, it's fine, it's okay.
If you are Dino De Laurentiis, you have to be like, what the hell?
Wait, do you think a George Lucas Flash Gordon would be as popular as Star Wars?
As Star Wars? No.
Because at this point, if he makes good, Flash Gordon, probably. Does he make Star Wars?
Probably not. I mean, right, so. And I guess in a way we have Dino De Laurentiis to thank for Star Wars. So thank you, ghost of Dino De Laurentiis.
Yeah, don't haunt us.
Is he dead?
I think so.
This out.
I'm not going to.
Shit. I mean,
A bunch of people are like, this dude has to, there's no way this dude is alive. No way. Yeah, he passed away in 2010.
Wow. R.I.P. Dino De Laurentiis. You were a icon of in the filmmaking community.
Yeah. Shit. Oh, hold on. You're right. Just thing. This dude is made.
Wow.
It's like from 46 on. Okay. From 1946 all the way to 2007, including the veritable Hannibal Rising. Everyone loves that one.
Oh. That's with baby Hannibal in it, isn't it?
It's the one where they were like, hey, Thomas Harris, we want to do a book about Hannibal Lecter's like youth. And he was like, I don't want to write that. And they're like, well, we have the rights to make another movie, so we're going to make it whether you write it or not. We'd like you to write it, but if you don't want to, we're going to make it. And so Thomas Harris said, well... And then he wrote it. And that's what we got.
Well, there you go. So, thank you, Dino De Laurentiis. I hope we get that little Google Analytics thing on the Google podcast apps where it's like, mentioned in this podcast, Dino De Laurentiis.
I mean, look, we wouldn't have had Halloween 2. Conan the Barbarian. Halloween 3. Dune.
Okay.
Raw Deal. Manhunter.
Oh, now you're talking. Oh.
Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2. I mean, Dark, that's brilliant.
Rumpelstiltskin.
What?
Assassins.
The Antonio Banderas Sly Stallone vehicle?
Yes.
I remember that one. Sly Stallone's veiny, naked body is burned into my brain from the shower scene from The Assassins.
Bound, the movie where I found a pair of pants up in the balcony of the movie theater I worked at that came out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Who leaves their pants? Like, I can understand leaving some underpants up there. You're just like, well, these are forfeit. They have to stay. But, like, what situation are you in where you're like, well, I guess I can't wear pants. And you just walk out of the theater without pants. Somebody sees that as they're coming in to see the next showing, and they're like, all right. This is exactly what the kind of movie I hoped it would be.
No, I'm finally for it. From the guy who brought us the body of evidence. Here we go.
Oh, there's a lot of... All right. Some thirsty movies on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Savior
of the universe. Bring this right back.
Yeah. So they get on a plane. A lot of weird crap happens. Like when Flash originally sees Dale, he really ogles her in that way where he's just like looking her up and down. She gives him a look where she looks wildly uncomfortable. But turns out, you know, when they start flying on the plane, man, she really takes a shine to old Flash pretty quickly when the turbulence kicks in.
Especially, like, the plane is flying stupid crazy. Flash goes to the front of the plane, and that weirded me out. Because even as a kid, I was never invited to the front of an airplane. Here's this guy just walking up to this. And then... Yeah, Dale, who really looked like she wanted nothing to do with Flash, was, yeah, hey, hold my hand, tell me what's going on, comfort me here. And I was like, wow, this is a forced moment. This is almost as forced as Padme and Anakin.
Yep. So, then we get the little, I think this whole scene is just to set up the fact that Flash Gordon is a star quarterback for the New York Jets.
Things that have never been said in the same sentence.
Yep. And, you know, that's the reason the pilots are fine when he comes up there. He barrels through the curtain in the cockpit, the like curtain. You say. And they're like, "Can we have your autograph for my kid?" Guess what? I hate to break it to you guys, but that kid is never getting that autograph.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he's never getting that because fucking isn't when fucking they get shot with the Ming beam?
Well, I think before that happens, we get like a brief scene of Zarkov and is that his name? Zarkov?
Dr. Yeah, Zarkov.
And oh, Munson.
That's right.
And that's when like a meteor falls through the roof of Zarkov's rocket atrium and almost sets Munson on fire. They're both sleeping in the same room, separated by merely a Soji screen. And that's when you get a bunch of stuff like, oh, the sun's not coming out. But former NASA guy says, no big deal.
That's right.
Dr. Zarkov, there's no sun. It's 8:24 in the morning, and there's no sun.
Yeah, it's an eclipse, they say, but don't worry. It's no biggie, even though there's like flaming balls of rock falling from the sky. And then we get back into the plane, and we get all that crazy storm, the sky turns red. Now here, I thought for sure, I didn't remember what was happening in this movie, but I thought for sure that at this point, this is when they were going to be transported to, Mongo. But no, this is just a weird sequence of events where the sky turns red and a visage of Ming flies at the plane and takes the pilots away or disintegrates them or something. The windows are broken, the pilots are gone.
Yeah. That was a good thing that Flash was taking pilot lessons.
Yeah.
Flying lessons, right? So.
Yeah. They like get that out by like Dale comes up into the cockpit with him and is like, I hope those, did you learn how to land in those flying lessons? And he's like, I didn't get to that part.
Yeah. But fortunately for them, they're crash landing by Zarkov's lab.
Into Zarkov's lab, killing Munson.
Well, so it felt like Zarkov was going to kill Munson if he didn't go into the rocket with him. You know, like, I'd be like, he must have built this rocket while you were there with him. So you must have known how it was built. But
he's been sleeping next to this GD rocket the whole time. And now it's time to do the thing, I guess, that he signed on to do, I guess. And he, of course, chickens out. He runs away after Zarkov waves a gun at him, and then he sees the plane, runs back, only to be still smashed by said plane.
Yeah, so that's the first person Flash didn't save. So he didn't save every one of us.
Nope.
Fucking lying song.
Lying to I thought, song. Like, it looked kind of like he dove out of the way, but, like, when Zarkov, Flash, and Dale eventually start, you know, getting into the rocket, he just looks down at the ground and he's like, sorry, Munson.
Well, Zarkov seems like he has a dark past. Just,
well, we'll get to the weird,
you know, I mean, he's just weird because, I mean, they crash land, they apologize for crash landing, though I don't think that counts. Right? Like, it's a crash landing. You can't.
Yeah, Dale's like, I'm sure the insurance will cover it.
Right? And then they're like, hey, can I? He's like, yo, you want to use the phone, huh? You want to use the phone? Well, just use the phone in here.
He's like, good morning. It's like, a plane just crashed into your house. And you're just like, hey, how you doing? I bet you want to use the phone, huh? Well, it's right in this rocket ship.
Yeah, I mean, phone hut.
I mean, door to thing.
This very artistic living room. Yeah, go inside. And then that's, I think, Dale gives us some more exposition on Zarkov.
Who?
He's a crazy scientist. I saw him on TV and he kept talking about an attack on the Earth. They kicked him out of NASA.
So
all you need to know.
NASA. And, you know, you're like, the Earth's under attack. The moon's falling apart. You know, we're being attacked. They kick you the
fuck
out.
Yeah, he says a bunch of confusing shit about like a counterattack, and you think that this rocket is going to do something besides be a rocket, and you will be sorely disappointed. A few funny things about this rocket. One, it sucks. But two, it has a series of red pedals, two red pedals to be exact, that must be pressed during takeoff or you will die.
Why are those not all on the same side?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not like you see him working pedals to get the fucking thing to fly.
Nope. He presses three switches. They're fine, and then someone else apparently needs to press the pedals. Basically, he coerces Flash and Dale into the rocket because he needs people up there with him for some reason for this cool counterattack. He decides to take three Earthlings against an alien species that he can't possibly know anything about. And yet, as we see, as this movie goes along, he knows everything about.
Well, you know, he is the smartest person on Earth, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're trying to... Or, yeah.
He's just
he certainly
that.
Is smart.
Yeah, he's just that brilliant. That he's, you know, he takes some terrific jumps in logic.
Yeah, but
nice way to put it.
So, I think the rocket taking off actually looks pretty good. It's some solid miniature work. The smoke looks good. The rocket model itself, although I don't like the design, is a pretty well made miniature. And I think the whole launching sequence looks pretty good. But then we get another like 70s oil and water painting, like trippy thing of them flying through space. I like how they leave Earth. They go past like a just a absolute ton of planets, and then just into a portal.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, the thing is, we haven't really conquered space travel yet for us, so.
Yeah, I think there could be just a portal out there.
Yeah, just random, you know, it looks like, you know, Haight Ashbury.
Yeah, it definitely looks like an acid trip of some sort.
Yeah, then you just walk through a portal, man, and you're transported to Mongo, and everything's all right.
Except it's not.
Yeah, the effects here are okay until they got into space. The minute it was in space, I was just going, "What the fuck is this?" Like, it's like trying to explain space to someone who has no concept of anything. Like,
it definitely looks like some sort of, I don't know, music video for David Bowie song.
I guess we could hear ground control to Major Zarkov. Check ignition.
Wow, he's a major now.
And steal Flash Gordon with you.
I thought the whole sequence was weird in the rocket too, because they all pass out for a reason that's not explained, and then Flash and Dale sort of just like spontaneously hold hands. I think this is supposed to like tell us that their romance is starting to bud, but it, you know, it's fairly unearned. But they all pass out, and I guess the rocket flies faster than light through this the royal aperture or whatever the heck it's called.
Yeah, I don't understand. I still don't get any of Ming's tech. But, I mean, I guess it worked.
It's magic, of course.
The exteriors of the planet where Ming's castle is, and Ming's castle itself is a pretty good miniature for the time.
I thought it was
pretty ornate. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, like, recognizable enough to make you go, that's a miniature, not like, you know, Zarkov's lab. That whole miniature looked like it just should have said, like, Lionel or something, like a train set.
like a toy train will pass by at any moment.
Mm-hmm. With a fucking face on it. Oh, excuse me, a face on it.
Of course. But, yeah, I like when they crash land on Mongo, and they're kind of waking up, and, the guards that Ming has sent to check out the crash sort of just appear in the window, framed in the window in the background, and then one, like, pokes his head around, like, hey, what's going on in here?
You got any orange juice, neighbors?
Oh, there's people in here. Cool.
I like these guys as their armor. Their whole look. Yeah.
I call them the Derp Troopers. They look like somebody scared a dollar store zombie samurai.
It's like, ah!
They just looked worried the whole movie. Yeah, oh, like, boy. I'm probably going to get killed, huh? Yeah, boy. I wish one of those pig guys got killed instead.
I'd be worried, too, if, like, my armor was held together with door hinges.
And raffia, or whatever that, like, sort of dyed reed is.
Yeah, oh, man. You know, like, I mean, look, I give Flash credit when he sees him. He tries to communicate with him. At this point, he's just trying to do what's right by him. But then he gets shot with a gauntlet gun?
Yeah. I wish these made a comeback.
Yeah. Holy,
it just shoots gauntlets.
I wish I had a gauntlet gun. I could get so much stuff done with, like, a gun that just shoots a hand that will strangle you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. So here we go. We go from here to Ming's palace. Where we're introduced to this weird, like, floating droid thing. It's not a droid, of course, because you can't call it a droid, because that's TMTM Star Wars. But it's some sort of thing. It's a robot of some sort.
Yeah.
And, this... and then we get introduced to some of the awesome local flora or fauna with the introduction of the lizard man.
Hold, lizard man. Escape is impossible. Surrender.
And he just gets murked.
He gets disintegrated. And rightfully so. Because this was the worst looking lizard man costume I have ever seen.
I didn't know what to think. I'm like, what do the filmmakers want me to think this is? Is it a creature, or is it a guy wearing a mask? The most nonsensical lizard mask you've ever seen. Because it's literally, the lizard's open mouth has a face in it, and it's like a spirit Halloween mask. You'd see the place, it's not even connected to the suit, they didn't even try.
No. No, it's like someone just took a bunch of surgical gloves, painted them green, stretched it over this dude's face till a hole popped, and then they threw some googly eyes on this thing.
Yeah, it looked like an SNL skit or an SNL sketch where, like, they're introducing a new Legion of Doom. This is Lizard Man. And then everyone is just like, no, he can't. Is his mouth a face? That's not a power. Just get out of here, lizard man.
Don't mind me. Wow.
I will, because you look terrible.
Yes, he looks very bad, but it really cracked me up when I saw it. It made me laugh for 5 minutes straight.
Oh, no. Every time he shows up, I fucking laugh and go like, my God, you doubled down on this. You made more than one of these costumes.
Yeah, I was like, okay, maybe they just showed it real quick and it was like, you know, one and done. But spoiler alert, there's like 5 more lizard men in this movie. And you get a real up close and personal look at them, unfortunately.
Yeah. Not great.
So the Earthlings get led to the main palace, like, throne room, and they're having a ceremony where they're, like, giving tribute to Ming. This is where we get introduced to Ming. He comes out. He's got his own Imperial March, but it fucking sucks.
Yeah, there's only one good song in this movie. That's it.
Yep. The rest of it is like somebody is like learning how to play the Casio.
Yeah. This is like they couldn't get John Williams, so they got John Williams' assistant.
Right.
It's like, and I've heard all the Star Wars music being made. I got this covered. But you helped write some of it. I've heard all of it, like at least 30% through.
Yeah.
I can
I wrote down Howard Blake did the music. And then I realized I think I was thinking of Howard Shore. I don't think I know who Howard Blake is.
You might be right. Howard Blake might have done the music.
Well, I mean he did, but I don't know who he is. Blake, he's not Howard Shore.
No. If Howard Blake is his name, then it's probably John Williams. Yeah, well, whatever. I called this the Eyes Wide Ming scene. Because it's like buff bird dudes, domed helmets, like crazy mask, you know, Brian Blessed, and then Max von Sydow.
Yep.
You know, and then a bunch of Peter Pan looking dudes.
Yeah, there's some weird shit. And then there's just some, like, there's guys who look, like, tribal-inspired. And I'm like, oh, God. Here comes the racist. I mean, the fact that Ming the Merciless is named Ming the Merciless is already wildly problematic.
Yeah, so I wrote this literally as my second note right after the Eyes Wide Ming. I said, is this Ming racist? Okay, it's cool. Hard. I just wanted to check. Because, you know, like, I mean, I've seen stills of the serials from way back in the day and stuff. And that Ming was hella racist. This Max von Sydow one, I know the name seems very problematic. But I felt like at least with him, they didn't try to accentuate any features.
Yes, these aren't the Nemoidians from Phantom Menace.
Okay.
But it's at the same time, though,
right?
I mean, they do some stuff with his makeup that I mean, it's definitely, it could have been worse. I guess that's what I'll say.
Fair.
It could have been worse. Oh, you know what? Never mind. I was just looking up Howard Blake's credits. Just so many good things.
And he did the music for this one, huh?
We got Amityville 3D. So good. The Snowman. The film of the stage show. Chef's Kiss. Perfect stuff. Our John Willy, of course, everyone knows that one. The TV miniseries.
Hey, don't you forget he did the hit 1973 TV series, The Up and Down, In and Out, Roundabout Man.
That's an actual thing. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Hey, well, he did do some score for the Avengers TV series, the 60s British TV series, not the uber popular Marvel property. So there you go. That's something. I don't want to yuck this very talented guy. He worked in the movies for a really long time. He was the composer known best for Monster in Law.
Of course, fucking Howard Blake. God damn it, man! It took a while for me to get to it.
Yeah,
Monster in Law.
So there you go. That's something you can hang your hat on.
You all know Monster in Law, the Jennifer Lopez, Jane Fonda vehicle.
Yeah, right. When Jane Fonda tries to break up Jennifer Lopez and some jerk.
Because I don't want to click on the thing.
I couldn't see his name, so
I could only see the two who mattered. I know Wanda Sykes is in it.
And there you go.
The tagline is, this relationship is going to be a real mother.
Oh, boy.
Woo.
So good.
He also did the Changeling. Anyway.
There you go. The Changeling's something. I mean, it's all something. That's
more than
point.
I've ever done, more than I ever will do. So.
Oh, yeah. He's worked on more movies than I ever will see. That's a lie.
I think you've seen more movies than he's worked on, but... And I can say I've seen none of his movies, save for Flash Gordon. Anyway, yeah, good on Howard Blake. The theme was not strong with this. The orchestra was not.
It's the anti-imperial march. It's the least memorable villain leitmotif that you can possibly think of, but that doesn't make him any less evil, because everyone's here to pay tribute to Bing, and one of the groups that comes up to pay tribute say, hey, you know, you attacked us, we got nothing to give you this time, so, you know, all we have is our undying loyalty, and everyone's like, great, so kill yourself.
Did you hear it? Fall on your sword. Show us this loyalty. Throw yourself onto your sword.
And it looks like he's going to do it for a second.
Yeah, straight up. Prince Thun looks like he is like, all right, I'll show you. But then he pulls a Han Solo.
Yeah. Death to Ming! And no, too bad. Ming's got a freeze ray.
Yeah. Freeze ring. Freeze ray in his ring.
That's
too convoluted. But yeah, he just shoots him.
And we get a lot of, like, really shaky, trying to be still acting as Max von Sydow pries the sword out of Prince Thumb's hand and runs him through in a brutal manner. And he's just carried off by his subjects. Man, no one's going to object.
In
a day's work.
Here's one thing I do appreciate about all the deaths in this movie, is they all kind of have different blood.
Yeah, I noticed that. He has blue blood.
Yes.
And then later the tree men have green blood, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a fluorescent green.
Yeah, and one of them has like black blood. So, you know, blood, different colors. I just thought it was funny that this prince had blue blood.
Yeah. Ever so funny. That's what I read when I was reading trivia. One of the people who was talking about the making of the movie said, Dino wanted the movie to be funny. And I thought, nice try.
I think Dino wanted the movie to be funny. We didn't know what we were making. So then...
So he hires Lorenzo Semple Jr., the funniest man in Hollywood.
Yeah. You wrote the best line. The best line ever.
Where have they got Robin?
I need that quality in this movie. Instead, you get Flash calling Ming a psycho. And then...
What? That was... He's like, what? That's Ming? What a psycho. And then the robot totally narcs on him.
Well, what do you think the robot's going to do? It's a robot.
He just
fucking nuked the worst lizard man on the planet. Of course he's going to narc on him.
Spoiler alert, the robot, we find out later that the robot is not a fan of Ming either.
No one is.
Nobody is. Oh, by the way, this is another part where Zarkov instantly knows the lay of the land because, you know, they get to the kingdom of whatever, of Ming, and they're like, oh, is this a kingdom? It's more like a totalitarian dictatorship or whatever the fuck he says.
Yeah, just ripe for someone to take over.
And then, like, and then Zarkov is like, great, then there'll be enemies on all sides. Everyone will want to, like, rise up and overthrow this guy. And, of course, he's right, but it's like, how the hell does he know that? He just knows alien politics right off the bat. Zarkov!
Dr. Zarkov, take two of them, call him in the morning.
Take two rockets and go to the fucking moon.
Stop that fucking rocket.
This episode is blue. We're getting real blue. Real fucking blue.
Yeah, real fucking I think we should just censor all the words but the curse words.
Yeah.
We could be done in an episode in probably 15 minutes.
It's like a very cool art project we did.
Yeah, it's like, hey, yeah, you're hot. Like, I mean, look, how I put it, I thought, I mean, I'll sum up my thoughts at the end, but while I was watching this, I just kept going, oh, you're really doing that, huh? No one thought of anything at this part. Like this part after Ming is called a psycho, the robot is, you know, narcs on him. He then, they move him forward, Flash, Dale, and Zarkov. Thank you. I feel like that's appropriate. And then tries to get, like, Dale to, like, come closer. She doesn't want to. So then Ming uses his ring that does everything, right? Who is already racist. We've confirmed that. Mm-hmm. I now believe he's canceled at this part. Because he's trying to compel Dale to do something she doesn't want to.
Yeah, this is I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah, go ahead. Hot take. Let's do it.
It's a horny ray. It's like the thirst ray.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Four Loko or...
Yeah, because it hits her and she just starts going like, ooh, just like caressing the air. And then he also like puts his hand over where she is, like... force perspective wise, and seems like he's kind of feeling her up, and then, like, what's Cletus the Slackjaw comes up,
Slackjaw alien,
yeah, and he's like, back 12 feet now, she's really taken to that ray. It's even better than your daughter. And you're like, wait, he used the thirst ray on his own daughter?
Oh, well, you get a lot of creepy vibes from his daughter. A daughter and his relationship are like, ooh.
Ooh. But he does say, like, I've never seen this kind of reaction before. Like, it's such an intense reaction. Like, even more so than your daughter. And Ming's like, yeah. And it's like, what happened?
It's like, you want to know what happened, but you don't because you've seen too many episodes of Law and Order. And you know what happened. And you don't like it.
So. Yeah. This is like a special victims unit episode, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Until it turns into an episode of Batman 66.
Oh my god, dude.
Because of this fucking fight.
Yeah, the fight. Oh, the fight. So, like, a bunch of people come out to get him, and Zarkov takes,
these eggs that I guess is one of the groups there. It's one of their tributes. And he, like, flings an egg at Flash Gordon and, and then Flash is like, oh, cool, I'll use it as a football. And then, you know how I referenced earlier that he has powers, right? This is his powers. His powers are twofold. One, he has the powers of football, and it really shows in the scene. And then two, he has the powers of teamwork, which is something they never heard of in Mongo.
Mongo, yeah.
That's yeah, true. So during this time, he like tackles a bunch of people. He rolls under a bunch of people. He's like not really doing a lot of damage or being effective, but certainly humiliating them. And everyone's just kind of watching. It's only stopped. I like the part when Cletus is like telling them, "You guys gotta like." Match him.
The prep talk. It's like the fucking you press time out. Huddle.
He's like, you gotta do the quarterback sweep.
I like the Ming line to him.
Are your men on the right pills?
What fucking pills are they taking? You know, and then he's unfortunately you should kill their trainer.
Yeah, we never get to find out. But it's short-lived because Zarkov throws another egg at his head and knocks him out. Yeah, Zarkov, it was Zarkov's fault.
Well, like, he gave him the prep talk, and I was like, well, Flash plays for the Jets, so he should be easy to beat.
Shots fired, Jets fans. Were the Jets good in the 80s? They had a green logo, I like that.
They were good for a minute. I don't know if it was in the 80s.
What happens next? They get... Oh, yeah, that's when Ming's daughter's like, yeah, don't kill him, even though he obviously, like, you know, sort of humiliated you in front of your court. I want him as sort of, like, I want to take him to the bone zone.
Yeah.
She wants a new plaything. He's a blonde hunk. And Ming's like, yeah, what about your boyfriend, Prince Baron, huh? What's he gonna think about it? And she's like, I'll get rid of him with this weird thing that I'm gonna tell him later.
Yeah. Yeah, their whole relationship is a thing. I'll let you try to figure what I was saying there. I think Forrest gets it.
I heard the whole thing. I hear it without the beeps, you guys, so,
yeah.
You know, I get the whole experience, but, so Flash is gonna be executed. Sorry, buddy.
But he's doing it very well, right? He's in shackles now, he's got a weird spike box thing on his head, more fucking lizard men are in the room.
Yep. We get even more close-ups of the lizard men. You really should not get a close-up of that costume, I don't think. But we're subjected to it nonetheless. So he gets, like... They offer him a final meal and a last request, which seems wildly generous for this type of organization. And he wants to, of course, see Dale, the person he just met on a plane, but is already madly in love with.
Yeah, they bonded over hours, people.
Oh, yeah. they were asleep in that rocket for God knows how long. Then we get a scene where it's a very bizarre scene. I think this scene is meant to sort of tell us that their relationship is getting closer. But because like they're bonding in this moment over Flash telling Dale it's just a dream and they're going to wake up in, Dark Harbor, I guess, or on the plane and, or no, they're going to wake up in the hotel in Dark Harbor and for some reason back in time. And Flash is like, this time I'm not going to just have the maitre d' creepily give me information about you. I'm going to come up to you and talk to you myself, which he fucking should have said in the first place. Yeah, I'm not going to excuse his behavior. It's bad. But yeah, she then like they have a cool space hourglass, and this one the sand goes up instead of down. That's how you know it's in space.
It's the same as her becoming Ming's concubine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, oh, geez. I said, isn't this movie already canceled?
He goes, you look great in that eye makeup. She's like, when I wake up, I hope I remember the trick. Cool, so I guess you just have Mongo email, or email, makeup at your local Sephora?
Yeah, or, you know, it's like, hey, so I was in this planet called Mongo, and they did this really interesting thing with the eye makeup. I was hoping that you could, you as a makeup artist here at Sephora, could help me figure out how to do this design. Now, to give you the vibe, I want you to think crazy lizard men, robots, a dude wearing 70 pounds worth of costume called Ming, some burly hawk people, and my sort of boyfriend, I don't know yet. We'll figure it out as we kind of go along. As a football star for the Jets, even though they were terrible in the 80s. so none of that matters. What I'm looking for is this kind of a nice eye situation.
It's a smoky eye that really makes my baby blues pop. But nothing, not even their love can stop what's happening next, because he is led to a very elaborate gas chamber. It's like has a very cool sort of ornate wooden doors leading to sort of like a geodesic dome. As Flash is about to be put into this thing, we get this weird close-up on Dale crying. Like, it really feels like they had to do this, like, this is like a pickup shot from later. Like, she just couldn't make it happen in the moment.
She saw her paycheck from the movie.
She saw the returns. Perfect. She's like, I took points on the back end.
I should have been offer only. Oh, God.
Then some like really weird guitar starts playing, and we get Cletus doing that like Fast and the Furious drop the handkerchief to start the race sort of thing with the execution.
You know, it's funny. I think this whole scene just is for them to have Sam Jones almost naked.
Yeah, he has got a really fantastic sort of 80s dad bod. Not the chiseled perfection that you would expect from today's leading men, but certainly a great sort of like 80s semi-toned body.
I mean, look, fitter than I'll ever be, and the man is still fitter than I am when he's at conventions. I saw him recently. Like 2019, oh, yeah. I guess is last.
Dude looks great.
He's got great windswept hair. They dyed it blonde.
Got a heck of a head of hair.
And they gave him some leather shorts, and dude rocked a pair of leather shorts.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Hey, he pulled it off. I could never pull off what he did, so good on him. Nothing against that guy. But he does get gassed. So he is dead, and the credits rolled. It's crazy.
Anyway, how a week. Pop Saga, you
know we. Fantastic. That's how much I want to get through this movie.
Yeah, I mean, we could jump around at some points. Like,
this is all. The thing is, this has all been a ruse because the Emperor's daughter was serious when she said she wanted a new plaything. And so we find out that she's also been stooping the doctor who gave the, who administered the lethal injection. So she's able to like promise him some future, romantic, rendezvous. in exchange for faking or giving him a little injection that helps him sort of survive the gas, or at least, I guess, is like the primer for the injection they give him later to wake him up. But I think I referred to this earlier. This is where we get the gravestone of Flash Gordon that has the movie title treatment.
Yeah,
embossed on it.
Primo, I don't see Skeletor doing this for He-Man.
No, he's not going to get a marble tomb with like, here lies an Earthling who did some dumb, who said a dumb thing to Ming and then was killed. And I guess is lying in state in his castle. But he's going to get broken out. By what's her what is her name?
Princess Aura.
Aura, yes, yeah, Aura.
Aura, yeah. I mean, yay, fucking, like, I like, so this was one of the few parts, I guess, I enjoyed, was this kind of weird infighting, like her playing games behind Ming's back. It just seems like, it seems very fitting for Mongo. I also like the pilot costume she gave Flash, because it is very reminiscent of his origin outfit.
Yeah, that's the one time we get his, like, the sort of comics-accurate Flash, almost. It is funny, though, that she doesn't cover up probably the most recognizable part, which is his face.
Yeah, it's like, especially that place is filled with nothing but weird masks. Like, she could have just skinned one of those lizard people.
Just put a weird mask. Just give him one of the scared samurai zombies from the opening, and I think we're good to go. But here we see that the Dr. Zarkov is being reprogrammed by Ming, and he has Ming confesses to him, hey, you know, I go around, I test a planet, I see if they're aware that I am the one who is, you know, making all these natural disasters befall them. And if they are,
every 1,000 years.
Here. Sorry, finishing the thighs and jumped.
No, it's fine.
Jumped the gun in bed.
Yeah, no.
We had a week off, just, people. Week off.
You know, he just tests these planets, and if it seems like they know he's doing it, then he'll destroy it. So he just wanted to let the doctor know it's all his fault.
Yeah.
Every 1,000 years, I test each life system in the universe.
I knew you were up to something, though I confess I hadn't thought of necrophilia.
Wrong.
That's good. That's coming, guys. That's coming.
That's coming.
Don't worry. Sorry. We'll get to the necrophilia later.
Yeah. I jumped the gun. My bad. Just for the folks at home who realize, you know, we do this all on the fly and shit. I didn't grab so many sounds for this movie. Not as many as I normally do, because
there aren't a lot of good quotes.
There was. Yeah, everything that I found would have been more kind of in mocking it a lot more than I knew you probably already would. So it wasn't anything in there that made me go, like, this was truly memorable or this was a great line. So I just kind of grabbed some of them, and there you go. Don't at me.
Don't at me. let's see. So that, at that point, we get to see the doctor's memory being erased. And this sequence is wild because it's a series of vignettes that are played forward at high speed, but are in the reverse sequence to when they happen chronologically. So it's like, instead of playing his life in reverse, which would have made sense, instead it is a bunch of sped up, like, memories, and all his memories are insane. He seems completely manic in every one of his memories. He's just acting like a crazy person. Now, let me ask you this. Because these things are played in reverse order, does he marry his dead wife? Like, what happens? What happens where... Does he push her in the pool and kill her?
I think so. That was going to be my question for you. I was like, I think he killed his wife in one of them.
He's sort of playfully chasing her around the pool, and then she dies in the pool?
Yeah, because I swear, aren't there cops or something? Like, it was so chaotic. And wasn't like, the thing is, I think it wasn't reverse for reverse sake. Like, it felt like some things happened in reverse, but other things happened in a weird sequential order.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is like, each of the sequences plays forward. They're not in reverse, right? They play, they're the regular, I don't know, they're playing forward, but the sequence of the vignettes is
in reverse
chronological order.
Yeah. Until he hits stock footage, like you said.
Right. Until he hits stock footage. And then he apparently has a memory of being a child.
Well, it's shitty. He has a memory of being a fucking fetus.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah, he's got some...
I think even hearing his... their parents going at it. I swear there was some sort of weird sound that made me go like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Zarkov?
So we kind of like, we cut back between three scenes. We have what's happening to Dale, what's happening to the doctor, and what's happening to Flash. So what's happening to Dale is that she is being sort of prepared for gross lovemaking with Ming, by being given a nameless alcohol, which she takes to the dome. She's loving it. She's like, this tastes great. And then we cut to what I'm going to call the USS Grind ship. Wow. Because it's all grind teaching on this ship, the good ship, Grindy Pop.
Yeah, jeez. I don't want to be like Flash is a... Flash is an interesting position. Literally.
Yeah. He's not objecting, let's just say. And it does lead to a... Like, he's, for some reason, Aura puts this guy at the controls. Maybe she just doesn't feel like flying. And, once he realizes that you can use these weird, like, crown things that are above their seats to make telepathic phone calls, he, like, tries to crash the ship. Shouldn't have given him the controls. And he calls Dale, and, like, he has a very sort of, like, jokey moment where he... is basically being grinded on by Aura and talking to Dale, and he's like, thinks some thirsty stuff, and he's like, oh, that's not for you, don't worry about it.
Wrong number.
She's like, whoa, what do you mean?
Yeah. The part that stuck out to me this whole thing was when Flash pretty much tells Dale to fake Ming out, because women know how.
That was so uncomfortable. He's like, I had people... do it to me. I've had people do it to me once. You know how. And it's like, oh, so you have a lot of experience trying to force women to have sex with you. And then having to trick you to get out of it. Cool, 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 cool. You're a real hero.
Man of the people. Then Dale offers one of the servants the booze.
Yeah, she's like, you drink this. And she's like, no, I couldn't possibly. She's like, come on, we're all girls here.
And then I was like, this whole movie's canceled.
Yes. Yeah. She forces alcohol onto this woman. She undressed this woman and then and stole her clothing, which is also bad.
Yeah, like you said, there's three scenes we keep jumping back before between this and this and the reprogramming center. Zarkov's reprogrammed. Aura and Flash are landing in Aboria. Then we cut to Ming's bedroom, like literally 42 minutes in. I think this is where I paused it to take my break because I was just like, all right, this is too much here. Because I was realizing, I was like, whose legs? I said, oh, Dale, don't tell me you did that shit.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. Sure enough, yeah, not only did she get the servant girl drunk and swap places with her, to have her fool Ming into thinking it was Dale.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the woman told her, Dale, that if she tries this secret alcoholic beverage, she'll be put to death. But Dale does not care. She leaves her to her certain doom.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously could not find a light point in this part. I the only thing I could write was, I guess, fortunately, Ming only groped up to the pillow before he realized it wasn't Dale, but it was the other woman. And then at some point between this and the next scene, Dale learned how to fight and shoot guns.
Yeah, she is a travel agent who is apparently an expert in Krav Maga, like espionage tactics, acrobatics, and gunplay, because she picks up an alien gun, does an incredible, like, no-handed somersault, and kills a bunch of these weird, overgrown, shy guy pigmen.
Yeah, like, easy. Just shooting them, flipping them, and the last one, she just, like, she beats to death.
Yep.
She's like, I won't shoot you, you're too good for shooting. And just clubbing, I was like, at this point, I just assumed she always knew how to do that stuff, but was waiting for the proper moment to use her moves. I felt like someone was like, hey, you saw that Star Wars, right? We need a Princess Leia moment, so get out there and start shooting stuff, huh?
Yeah, she's suddenly commando good. And so they activate Agent Zarkov. Now
activate Agent Zarkov.
Sorry, I like that part. That's why I grabbed that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you got to get in there. Activate Agent Zarkov. And so she doesn't know that he has been supposedly reprogrammed. And while on CCTV, it basically spills all the beans, all the information that the bad guys need to know. Zarkov is certainly playing the part of the sort of brainwashed soldier. But once they are on a ship, which they somehow know how to pilot all of a sudden, and escaping from the city, we realize that Zarkov... no. He was able to resist the reprogramming.
By what, reciting Shakespeare or some shit?
Yeah, he thought of Shakespeare, the Beatles, and Einstein. And that shielded me, my girl! Apparently, all you... Hey, newsflash, Mongolians. If you never wanted to be reprogrammed, all you have to do is think about something else. Smartest man in the world, ladies and gentlemen.
He's like, I was born across the sea. To be or not to be, I will remember.
Bring.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Bring. The telephone is ringing. Bring.
Hello.
Hello, John. You have to stop singing a song, so it will soothe you, the pants off of you, just like those pants you found in the theater. This is Obi-Wan now. Sorry, I'm the lawyer for the Beatles. This is my day job.
Understood. Understood. I will stop. Thank you, Beatles lawyer, who just happens to sound kind of like one of the Beatles in Obi-Wan Kenobi. I apologize.
Sure.
I apologize.
Cheerio.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I think we finally made it.
Yeah, I mean, I never knew you could be DMCA'd in real time.
Yep. Well, that very convincing phone sound effect really must have made it clear.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially it knew my rings and everything, including the phone is ringing, pick it up. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Perfect. Shout out to that guy from earlier.
Roy.
Sorry, I don't remember his name. Tim?
Roy. He got me some baller-ass shirts. He got me a Batman 66 shirt with Catwoman slapping Batman, and it says WAP on it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Way to go, Roy?
Roy, yeah.
Tim? Roy. Okay.
Roy.
Fantastic. Roy.
Mr. Buttery Neck himself.
Okay. That's a joke for just you and Roa.
And a few other people, too. Anyway, yeah. So, Zarkov resists the rope reprogramming because Shakespeare is garbage and will block you.
Yep. The immortal bard.
Yeah, don't
I mean, fine. Fine. Whatever. I mean, just one of the most... It's fine. It's fine. Let's just don't add them, people.
Yeah, don't. Leave me alone, please.
Please. Oh. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Bring. Don't let it go to voicemail.
Oh. Hello?
Oh. Hello, John.
You
might remember me from earlier.
We didn't do a Beatles song. We stopped.
No. I'm calling about something else. I'm also representing the estate of William Shakespeare. And I called to say, hey, you. Fuck you.
You can't do it right. Fuck. You know what I'm saying? Fuck. Wait a minute. Beatles / Shakespeare lawyer isn't like Shakespeare in public domain?
Listen, your father and I fought together in the Clone Wars. I gotta go by.
You?
Oh, man. It's getting very legal up in this episode.
Yeah, well, yeah, litigation.
Mm-hmm.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Oh, no, don't want to get sued by Edwin Starr's estate. God, I'm in a musical mood.
That's good. I think it's good that you're in a musical mood because we're about to be transported to, what is it called? Arborea?
Yeah, like the rice, I guess, or something. I don't know. Arborea, yeah. Rice? I don't know.
I mean, it's everything about them is referencing trees, right? So they arbor is in relation to trees, so they're living on Arborea. Weirdly enough, they're just called the tree men, so that's fun. So the princess Aura flies Flash to drop off with her current beau, which is Prince Baron. And, you know, they have a bit of a fraught relationship. He knows she's just kind of hooking up with whoever she likes. And he's real bitter about it. But her plan is to drop old Flashy G off in Arborea, but before we get that sort of confrontation between her and Prince Baron, we get taken to a ritual, the ritual of the tree men, the, I guess it's some sort of initiation rite.
Yeah. The initiation, if I remember correctly, is very dangerous. You stick your hand in a tree trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And you try not to get stung.
Yep. You annoy a blob scorpion, and then you play tree Russian roulette. Like, stick your arm in a hole and hope you don't get stung.
Yeah. But the sounds of the initiation. The sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it out loud. That's how bashful I am. Prudish, if you will.
Oh, what are you trying to say?
Here. So it sounds like a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
In
a bunch of dudes jerking off. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, they were definitely jerk.
And they're just like, oh, stick your hand in that hole.
Oh my god.
Eventually this whole scene is just to set up the stakes of this sort of initiation ritual for later, because the guy who does stick his hand in there does not fare very well, and of course the sting of this weird blob scorpion causes madness and a very slow death, so he's like, just kill me, and of course Prince Baron indulges him. And then we get, then Aura introduces herself and Flash to Prince Baron, and we get a little idea of her plan.
I knew you were up to something, though I confess I hadn't thought of necrophilia.
All I...
yep, because he thought Flash was dead, and he's not. And he's, like, right off the bat accusing her of being unfaithful, which I guess is true, because something happened on that rocket.
I mean, dude, it happens everywhere. This it's gross.
Yep. Yeah. But, you know, the minute she leaves, he just throws him in a cage and dumps him in the swamp. He doesn't care about no Flash Gordon.
With more lizard dudes.
Yep. There's more lizard dudes, a Hawkman, and a couple other people. This whole sequence is just stupid and bizarre. We get Flash sort of rallying the troops, as it were. He's always talking about teamwork and teaming up. One thing my wife pointed out that I thought was really funny was that he talks about teamwork, and Prince Aura is like, what's that? And literally they just teamed up. Like, they just teamed up to escape.
Hey, just because she doesn't know what teamwork is doesn't mean she doesn't accidentally do it once in a while.
Yep. Yeah, I guess a broken clock is right twice a day, but
it's main half Hmong time.
Yep. He rallies all these people in the cage together, and, like, eventually when someone sort of very suspiciously gets thrown into the cage and has the key to get out, everyone is just like, go get him, Flash! They're like, everyone is just, like, his hugest fan. I guess that's his power. This is the second, example of his superpower, which is teamwork.
Yeah, he flashes them pearly whites.
Gets everybody and he's on just board. Like, Blue 42!
Fucking, you know, suspicious dude who shows up who happens to be wearing the outfits of the guys he was just kind of fighting or going up against. Not suspicious at all. Dude happens to have a key.
He's like,
not a problem at all.
Yeah, he's like, I've got a key, and we need weapons. And guess what? They're right up here. And, oh, it's a trap. Too bad it's a trap. And they're gonna, now, of course, we, you know, we have Chekhov's jack-off test, and, of course, is a trick. Did you pull the sound of what he says next?
No, because
he just goes,
could not
trick you again! And I was like, what was the first time? Or he says, tricked ya. Now I can't remember. Either way, he just says, tricked ya!
Yeah, no, that one, I was looking for it and couldn't find it in a good enough state. And I was like, I could go through the film and rip the sound out. But no, I'm not going to do that. I pulled a Steve Rogers.
I think that's fair.
No, I don't think I will. Yeah. I don't think I'll be doing that. I'm old Steve. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Don't worry about it if you don't know what we're talking about. We're not going to elaborate.
That's it. We're done.
But if you've been on the internet, you've probably seen the meme. Nope, I don't think I will.
Yeah, but they finally saved this movie from this point.
Yeah, it really picks up from here. Once the Hawkmen show up and sort of rescue Flash from the bog of eternal stench, then things get going, because we go to the Hawkmen capital, and now we're going to get even more Brian Blessed.
Yeah, is the best. That was my note. That's the only part I wrote for the Hawk people. Hake people? Fuck. I couldn't spell for shit. That's supposed to be Hawk people. Hawk people kingdom. That's right. Brian Blessed is the best. It was my favorite part. Because he has so much charisma. The worst part is I only grabbed two of his lines. And... you know, which, and they're both almost the same line, but he is fantastic in this.
Think also, just real quick, there's a part where after Flash tricks Baron, he goes, he like jumps off the tree, and they play like the boom, like a bummer noise.
I couldn't take that whole scene. I couldn't take that. I honestly, I was just like, okay.
Okay.
The sooner they're off of Aboria, the better.
Yep.
Because fake Dagobah was not doing it for me.
Nope.
Like, and I mean...
Dime Store Dagobah was not doing it.
You know, I mean, look, I get it. Every movie, the point is to move the plot along by giving you something to. But this movie really felt like they had no idea what they were making. They were just making up as they went. And this scene was the same thing. I was like, why? Look, you don't need to make sense, but why the fuck did you send this spy guy down to bring him up just to do the Russian roulette part? Just do the Russian roulette part. You didn't need to have him in the cage to talk to these guys, because it's not like the lizard dude, the hawk guy, and everyone else in this cage got out. As far as I'm concerned, those fuckers are still in the cage.
Oh, yeah. No, they're dead.
They're dead. So, like, just have them do the roulette part. And, like, this movie would have been, you know, an hour and 45 minutes long.
Then, no, yeah. The whole... I can only imagine that the scene with the cage is just to, again, reinforce Flash's football-mancy. American football, for those of you who are, like, I was going to say a better sport, but I don't like football or soccer. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not a sporto. I'm not much of a sporto. I'm kind of a nerd. I don't know if you've noticed. Yeah, we then go to the Hawk City, which is pretty great. This, aside from the part where Brian Blessed, like, pinches Dale's butt.
Pretty problematic. And, yeah, I guess you can go, well, it was the 80s. I mean, literally the start of the 80s, so you were going to get a bunch of that crap. But still, it just felt like you just did it because you didn't know what to do next. So everyone just kind of did everything that felt whatever. I think Brian, you know, like, Brian Blessed, to me, is, like, the shining star of this film. Just given...
He definitely is the only one who seems to know what kind of movie he's in. Several, I mean, him, I think, and Max von Sydow know that they are in camp, and they just chew the scenery the whole time, and to the benefit of the movie. There are a couple other people who take it a little more seriously. Like, well, maybe, good old Timmy D. I felt like,
you know, they recited Shakespeare. I felt like they were all acting like they were on a stage. And, you know, but just play it bigger than life. And that's how he did it. And that was, I have to admit, like, outside of the creepiness of pinching people's butts when you shouldn't be doing it. Don't do that, people. I felt like this was, like, at least the movie started to do something at this point. Everything else just felt very painful.
Yeah. It's a slow start, but it really picks up from here because we get a cool duel between Prince Baron and Flash Gordon on a sort of rotating disc. That's what it is. So they're fighting on this disc, and it's above, of course, it's like the moon door or whatever from... Game of Thrones. Yeah, so there's like, if you fall off this rotating disc on this little doing this duel with whips, which was a weird choice. You have Timothy, I can only assume they did it because, like, you know, Tim Dalton has to be, like, trained in fencing just because of all the roles he's had. And then But then they're like, hey, what can you do, Sam Jones? And he's like, football?
No, I thought you were going to be like, well, I get a little kinky from time to time. So
right, yeah. And, yeah, so they'll just, like, have a whip fight. And then the... Fulton asks for, he's like, hand me the remote control. Give me the remote control. Which, again, the presence of the phrase remote control is hilarious, and it is indeed that, and it controls the giant disc they're fighting on, and it tips and tilts and spikes come up, and it's all very dangerous.
Yeah, my favorite bit is the fact that I guess the paint on this disc never truly dried or something. So every once in a while, the actors would get silver on them. So then they'd have to stop, wipe the silver off, then get back on the disc and start fighting some more.
Yeah, so obviously Flash wins this duel, but instead of dropping Baron to his doom, he's like, hey, we could be teammates. Let's be teammates. We can team up like football. And this is when finally Baron decides, hey, where you lead, I'll follow.
That's fucking teamwork.
Exactly. Yeah, and
too bad and, it's short-lived, though.
Well, I mean, they decide short, to team up.
I guess. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but Hawkman's not having it because Cletus shows up. I guess we forgot to mention that the aura goes back to Ming's castle and is tortured by Cletus.
Yep.
In a very worms. Another very uncomfortable scene. Yeah, speaking of kinky.
Yeah, whipping the shit out of her.
Yeah, and she's got these huge welts on her back, and he's able to extract sort of the whole plan from her. So he shows up at the I don't know how he knew they would go to the Hawk City, but whatever. Not important.
No, he's a smart dude, got a gold hand that doesn't do anything.
Sure. He also sleeps in a coffin, I guess, on the bridge of the ship, only way, like, behind travel. A door.
Yeah. He got pissed, kind of, when they woke him up.
He's like, too soon, I was getting my beauty sleep.
Yeah, it was getting really good. I was riding horses.
Listen,
with
guys,
my landlord.
If I don't I know. I mean, I'll come and do this thing real quick, but I gotta get back to sleep because I have this thing where if I don't get enough sleep, my eyes and tongue will just shoot out of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shows up and he's swinging his big old dick around. And, you know, they have decided to team up, so they're not going to have that stuff. So they just kind of throw him onto that disc again, and he goes right into those spikes. And that's it for him. He just kind of deflates. Black blood goes everywhere, and like I said, his eyes and tongue slowly protrude from his face, because I guess that's what happens when you get, or at least when Cletus gets stabbed with a bunch of spikes.
Yeah, cool dude. Met a uncool end, but
yeah, you know. R.I.P. Cletus.
That really hurt me. Like, I mean, I really miss the dude. There's, you know, that one time where he showed up with a golden arm and then he reprograms Arkoff. Then he was on that ship and he's kind of cranky, but, you know, he told him where to go. That's the kind of guy Cletus was. And then when he ended up, you know, going to the Hawk People planet and just falling on some spikes, kind of casually, dissolving a little bit, and then having his eyes kind of bug out of his mask and his tongue as well. And he died. He died how he lived. Terribly.
That was beautiful. I'm sure he would have appreciated that if he wasn't burning forever in hell.
I mean, he'd probably have been reprogrammed for being so sappy about it.
Oh, yeah.
Reprogram Agent John. I just thought about Insane Clown Posse. It's and scented candles. And I beat their program.
My girl, I thought about Faygo. It shielded me.
Yeah, I thought about everything that no one likes.
Fresca, that slush at the bottom of your trash can with combination.
Yeah, everyone out there listening, if you are in a situation where you are being tortured or you're being reprogrammed, just think about that little jingle about Fresca and how it tastes like trash leavings.
Because it does.
It does. That's a fact. That is a complete and utter fact. But do at me, Fresca. We are available. Although, as always, offer only to really revitalize your brand. So, Coke, get at us.
Please.
Bring. This is the phone again.
Oh, hello, hello.
Hello. It's me again. Guess what? Just guess.
I
represent Coke as well.
Oh, shit, son.
Anyway, you'll have to stop talking about Fresca. Wait, hold on, what's that? What? No, we don't like Fresca either? Okay, cool. I'm gonna start doing the accent again. Oh, never mind. we're not big fans of Fresca either. You have our blessing. Fresca away!
Anyway, that's the last time we'll probably be hearing from Obi-Wan. That character is canceled, not for doing anything bad, because he's not funny. We get a really confusing series of things where, first Cletus shows up, and I guess the Emperor was like, I don't really trust that guy, I'm going to do it myself. Because he shows up right afterwards, and the Hawkmen are like, well, take your shit, let's leave.
Take anything that isn't strapped down.
Yeah, and Flash is like, tear down these big metal things, we'll use them as a parachute.
Yeah.
And of course, that's a bad idea. Because I guess you can just, like, we didn't really mention, but, like, all these things are on Planet Mongo, quote-unquote. But Planet Mongo is, like, a separated into chunks. that exist in this sort of limbo space that is not outer space because people can breathe in it.
Yeah, no, they're like, so like Mongo's one, yeah, or the whole area is like Ming's planet's kind of like in the center, and then all these other areas are kind of ringed around it. They refer to them as moons in the movie. So they're all like habitable moons of different types.
Right. Yeah. But they're really just like a chunk of land.
Yeah. Go around calling it. It's like all of them are a daily city. Just
right. Yeah, pretty much.
A lot of space, but.
Yeah. And if you don't live in the Bay Area, that is a place outside of San Francisco. So there you go.
If you're just trying to figure, just think of a small town near your house.
Yeah.
And if you live in a small town, you also live on Aboria or Hawk People Kingdom. I forgot the name
of that one. So good luck. Aboria is basically a suburb of Mongo.
There you go.
It is also under the Hawk Kingdom. So apparently Flash's idea is you can just parachute down to Arboria, but that, of course, that's a terrible idea. And they're getting captured by Ming anyway. So the Prince Baron and Dale get captured, and they leave Flash behind because Ming wants to make him an offer, like, confusingly. He decides to... he's tried to kill himself several times and has been unsuccessful, so he switches out the vinegar for honey and says, I'll give you Earth. You know, we'll do a bunch of earthquakes and people will be desperate, and then you can rule over them with an iron fist. It'll be great. And Flash agrees, and it's the end of the movie. I'm just kidding. No. Of course not. He's fine.
Yeah, he doesn't know Flash, dude.
No. He doesn't know him. He says no. He would not rather. He would choose death before, becoming like Ming. And so Ming just leaves. He's like, okay, we'll just blast the place from orbit. Don't worry about it. Have fun. You know, certainly there's not a rocket cycle in here somewhere that you could easily escape, I'm sure. So I'm just going to go ahead and leave, the classic villain thing, and just let him, you know, he's certain that he will die, even though he is wrong.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go marry Dale later.
She will be my concubine. We're going to get married. Well, there's a very funny gag marriage scene coming up.
Yes, there is. I guess. And then, you were pointing out, though, as the Hawk People place is getting wrecked, for some strange reason, they have a sky cycle or a rocket sled, and
that they did not mention,
and a Flash gets on it and flies off.
Yeah, he can pilot this as well, no problem. Those pilot training lessons have really come in handy in this one. And he flies and then, like, radios the Hawkmen who are hanging out on Arboria on some, you know, some tree roots. And he's just like, hey, everybody, I'm fine. And they're like, cool, let's do that plan. Let's go ahead and you know, rise up and revolt against Ming.
Do you realize this is the second movie we've talked about with Brian Blessed where he's in a swamp hiding out?
And that he reluctantly agrees, or agrees after some, like, motivation, after being, like, after being kicked out of his ancestral home, he agrees to help our hero, and sort of send in his troops on a suicide mission. This is, like, exactly the same.
I think George Lucas was being funny. I literally think he was being funny after seeing this.
Yeah, he definitely was. He wanted to make Flash Gordon, so who knows? Maybe he liked this movie. He certainly, I'm sure that's one of the reasons why Brian, Blessed was cast in Phantom Menace, not someone like Wilford Brimley or someone who I think I thought it was when I
when I saw that movie.
It's like, oh, Dino, you didn't want to give me the movie, huh? Okay. I'm going to make it. It's fine.
There is a lot of Flash Gordon in Phantom Menace, especially in the Naboo aesthetic.
Yeah, that was well done. Anyway,
yeah. next we get some fun stuff where Flash is just kind of having a great time on his sky cycle.
Yeah,
flying towards the city.
Yep.
And then we cut back to the city, and we get a fun pillow fight between Aura and Dale. She shows up, and Dale just sees her and is like, "You little piece of shit!" and really goes after her. And what starts off as like a pretty honest brawl just turns into a pillow fight. So it's like, all right, movie, we get where you're going with this. And then we find out that Ming has ED.
Deadly poison. My father always drinks a power potion before he makes love.
How does she know that? I mean, I think
remember when I said the shit earlier, I meant the whole weird family shit that happens that we're just kind of like gone because I think it's
Right
now.
Oh, I forgot to mention earlier. Oh, this is one of my favorite parts. But when they are, not to backtrack too far, but when they are fighting on the disc, Dale shouts to Flash, "Flash, I love you, but we only have 14 hours to save Earth."
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They set up, they like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how we do this. How do we establish this ticking clock? And so they literally are just like, to just have her just say it. They're like, just say it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I think there's a small part where Zarkov is calculating how many hours they have left before Earth is destroyed.
They just don't know how to tell that. I don't know. They just didn't know how to tell that to Flash, I guess. So they just have her shout it out while he's dueling. But so we have a ticking clock now. Earth is hanging in the balance. Although, I mean, I guess we just have to assume that everything's okay. But, we find out that Ming has ED. He needs to take that power potion so he can really do it to it. Here's something. So, as the rocket cycle slowly approaches the palace, they start firing on it. And are they shooting laser swords?
I think so.
Yeah, right? They had little hilts on them, or cross guards, I should say.
I mean, dude, they have gauntlet guns. There's no reason why they wouldn't have,
have sword guns. That makes sense.
Swords, you know.
But he was like, he flies up to the castle. He's like, oh, never mind. He turns around and flies away. But what initially seems like a very poorly laid plan by old Flashy G turns into it's actually all part of the plan, because they send their greatest warship out with General Ajax piloting it, and they chase him into a cloud.
And this looked cool.
Yeah,
I have to admit, I like this effect the most, outside of the gauntlet gun.
Sure.
The spaceship flying through the smoke looked pretty cool.
Yeah. So, on the other side of this cloud are all the Hawkmen and Flash, Gordon, and So here's a weird dialogue continuity error that I noticed, and maybe you caught this too. But after he flies through the cloud, they're like, all right, shoot the electrodes in there and electrify the cloud, and then he says, deploy the nets to catch Volton's body.
No, I think it's the catch Flash's body.
But I'm pretty sure he says Volton.
Or maybe he
says Gordon. In a weird accent?
It might have been. I think he was meaning Flash, though. That's what I picked up on.
Right. That's obviously what it was meant to say. It did sound like he said it's Volton's body, but now that I say it out loud, maybe he said Gordon's body, and it just, he had an accent and it sounded weird.
Yeah, that's could be it.
Probably more likely. But needless to say, this electrifying of the cloud does nothing. He doesn't come, Flash doesn't come out, he doesn't fall out, and so they decide to go through the cloud, and then they have that cool shot you're talking about of this very kind of like campy sort of 50s rocket sort of slowly rising out of a cloud, and they realize too late it's a trap, and they are attacked by the Hawkmen, and they really give this ship a what for. They're able to overwhelm it fairly easily.
Well, yeah, after you get the quality, like, battle planning by Volton, like...
Squadron torches! Die!
Yep. And he just tells various squadrons to dive, and it's all the same clip of Hawkman diving that they just play over and over again.
Oh, well. Who wants to live forever?
This is the one part in the movie where the music, like, we get the Queen motif back, and suddenly the music rocks. I was like, where was this music for the rest of the movie?
Yeah, I mean, It was weird because, you know, they got Queen. I don't think anyone even heard. I don't think Dino De Laurentiis and any of them have heard a Queen when this came out. But I wish they would have pulled, like, hey, we want you to do the whole soundtrack. You know, yeah. Instead of just like one song where we just cut it up and play it at different parts of this movie. You know, give them like a real Highlander S thing where they just start rocking out like old rock opera or something would have made this movie a million times better.
Absolutely. Since Princess Aurora was able, or Aurora,
Aurora.
Princess Aurora was able to escape from her like escort by doing a very cool knife trick where she has this very ornate sort of corset thing or a belt, and it's concealing two like thin stilettos that she pulls out and just like very brutally kills the pig guard that has her captive. And she's going to go release Zoltan and Baron, I should say. And they are in a jail cell that is graffitied with some pro Flash graffiti. And I swear to all that is holy that Flash got there an hour and a half ago. But somebody's already defaced the dungeon with some pro Flash Gordon graffiti.
Go Flash, go!
Yep.
And I thought you were going to say he got there an hour and a half before just to deface the fucking. It's like, this will spark a revolution.
We gotta be a team. And so they break out. There's some fun stuff with like sort of the general of the force of Ming's forces, you know, where she's kind of seen through this ruse that the Hawkmen and Flash are planning, where they're gonna fly this one of Ming's cruisers right into the lightning shield that is around the palace so they can blow it up and then have access to the palace. And so Zarkov and Baron are going to aid them. And they're going to do that by breaking into the control room and then ripping their leg. Again, Zoltan or Zoltar
Zoltan
or
Zoltan and Karin.
right? Whatever the heck that guy's name is, he knows that you need to rip off one of the visors from these weird bald dudes that are kind of sitting in this control room. And when Baron does, it shows that the guy's eyes were hooked into the visor. So he just basically brutally murdered him.
And all the other ones, they all just kind of died when...
Yeah, and they all die. And he's like, oh, okay, never mind. They abandoned that plan right then.
Yeah, I mean, this whole little moment when they're in the control panel and, you know, like fucking Flash is willing to sacrifice himself to steer the ship. My favorite part out of all this is when they cut to the wedding real quick and the shooting is happening and the general is like, wedding guests, do not be alarmed. The shooting is... the constant shooting is honor of Ming's wedding.
Yeah, they're like, don't worry about all the shooting outside. We're just going to do a 21-gun salute for the rest of this wedding. Totally planned.
And I like the look on Ming's face where he's just kind of like, nice touch.
Yeah, at first he's like, what? And then he's like, oh, pretty cool.
Yeah, someone was thoughtful. Thank you.
So back at on ship Flash, they at one point they're flying towards the city, the Ming city or whatever, and they're like, let's tune in to hear what the populace of Ming is saying. And so apparently there's just like a radio station on the rocket that is like picks up the PA of the Ming city because they start hearing a very cheesy guitar rendition of the wedding march. Yeah, exactly, from Earth, which nobody is surprised that is the same on Mongo.
Well, maybe Dale requested it.
Maybe. Yeah. Also, Ming seems genuinely excited about this wedding. I just want to say, like, the way he's sort of acting before the wedding itself, he seems genuinely thrilled to be marrying Dale.
Good. Maybe he can stop chasing his daughter.
His daughter, I'm sure, is very thrilled.
Oh wait, I forgot to add, he can stop chasing his daughter.
Whoa! And then talk about blue.
Yeah, the worst.
My word! Yeah. Doing their vows, and the priest is like, "Do you promise not to jettison her out into space?" And Ming's like, "What?"
He's like,
and the priest is like, "Oh, I mean, until you want to." He's like, "Okay, that's fine."
Yeah, much better. Sure. Yeah, or the trying to find the ring.
Yep, that part. The ring, the ring, get the ring.
The ring.
It's so... It shifts from, like, action to, like, a very corny part.
Crash.
Oh, totally. Yes. Masterful writing here. But... yeah, so Flash, he is in the ship, and he types in... He uses the ship's computer to type in the 3 minutes and 25 seconds they have left in that Earth has left. From the moment he types that in, literally 20 minutes pass.
Yeah, it should be negative 17 yep. minutes at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
But don't worry, the lightning shield gets dropped, and whereas Flash was going to have to pilot the ship himself, sacrifice himself, and pilot it into the lightning shield to expose Ming's palace to attack. Instead, he doesn't have to. The lightning shield goes down, and he makes a beeline for that wedding. Party or the wedding, the room in the palace, throne room, I guess.
Yeah, it seemed like kind of a catch-all room, to be honest.
Yeah, So Ming sees this coming, and much like the guy who did not avoid the steamroller in Austin Powers, he just kind of hangs out while the ship sort of barrels down towards him.
Yeah, and it gets impaled on it.
Yeah, he doesn't even try to run away until the very end, and it's far too late because it crashes through the window, and it just the little sort of spire on the end of the ship just goes right through him.
Yeah, I mean, normally you would question that level of accuracy, but when, you know, the song says, you know, Flash Gordon, King of the Impossible.
King of the Impossible.
Yeah, I was just like, well, I believe it now. I am a believer.
Yeah, and Flash Gordon jumps off the ship with, what is that sword called from WoW? Lightbringer?
Oh. Yeah, no. It is. No, Ashbringer.
Ashbringer, yeah. He jumps off the ship with Ashbringer.
I'm glad you calling that out, because I thought the same damn thing when I saw it. Yeah. I was like, damn, that's very... That must be where they got the design from it.
Oh, I mean, definitely. I mean, I'm sure there's... Maybe they're both based on an ancient sword that had a weird ball, you know, sort of a three-quarters of the way up through the blade. But it's a very strange-looking sword. The thing is, he doesn't really use it. He brandishes it towards Ming. Ming does his little freeze ray thing, but he has, in case you have forgotten, he got impaled by a rocket ship. So he is, he's dying.
Yeah, his powers are waning real quick. That was kind of the understanding I got from it, where he's just like...
Exactly. And Flash says as much.
Yeah. So you must be getting weak, old man.
And he... at this point, he points his ring at himself and sucks himself into the ring?
Yeah. Sure. I wrote, Ming's power eats him?
Yeah. He does it to himself. And so I guess he takes himself out of the equation, and immediately everything is fine. The robot comes up. We mentioned the robot from earlier. The robot is just waiting for this to happen, because the robot flows up and it's like, Ming's dead. Cool. Long live Flash Gordon. Hero of the world. Everyone likes him.
And then Flash jumps and goes, yeah. Because they did not know how to end it. That's why that happened.
Right? But it's not the end.
No.
It just pauses briefly. And then they have that whole scene where they just kind of take care of the rest of the business. They're like, all right, Voltan, you're head of the army. And he's like, cool. I guess Prince Baron is the new ruler.
Yeah,
I guess.
Law and decree.
Go ahead. They're like, you guys are welcome to stay. And Flash is like, what do you say? I guess apparently Flash has no family or friends on Earth.
He just plays for an NFL football team. Then people seem to know him. And he's on news and on magazines, but...
He's a famous star quarterback, and I guess no one's going to miss him. And then Dale's like, I'm a kind of a New York City gal, which is a part of Dale's personality that I have never heard before this moment. It explains
how she was able to flip around and shoot people, dude.
That's true. Yeah, that does kind of justify that in a good way. But it is funny that, like, is no one listening to her? It sounds like she wants to go home. And... they're like, ha, we're staying anyway.
And then we got the original Super Bowl drones, the hot people.
Oh my god. Oh my god, the Hawkman. The movie ends with the Hawkman spelling out, thank you, in the sky. Thank you, Flash. They do it so slow. It feels like it takes 15 minutes.
Well, dude, the fucking Hawk dudes were so... Like, when they're like, dive! it took like a good 3 or 4 minutes for them to ever get to that ship.
Yeah. Fly slowly downward.
It would have been easier if they stopped flapping. I think they would have gotten there quicker.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, when they're flying, then they're just like, thank Flash. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. This is Mongo sad. Take my ass back home.
Yeah, so they had, so we get then the precursor to the Marvel post-credit tag, which is the end question mark.
Yeah,
and of course it is the end.
Yeah, I mean, who there was took never another ring? Movie. Who took it?
Right. There's nobody left. They killed, I guess, just some random person with a black glove took the ring. We hear a little Ming laugh. It's nowhere near the awesome the awesome He-Man actual post-credit tag where Skeletor literally looks down the barrel of the camera and says, "I'll be back."
Yeah,
which of course he also is not.
With the water in his fucking eye. He's all, "I'll be back."
Shit.
The next line out of that is, "Get me the fuck out of this tank, Fred Angel, damn it."
And that's it. That's the end of the movie. And with it, the joy and the light in the universe goes out because Flash Gordon is over. So, John, what do you say? Does this movie belong in the Pop Saga pantheon?
So, I've been thinking about this. No, with an asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I can totally see how its level of camp and cult like status would propel it to pop culturedom. I mean, it has made its way into other mediums, so it's kind of cemented itself with a fringe audience. I guess the only way I could put it, like, you know, people who are really into that stuff. So in that regards, that's the asterisk. Yes, it has made its mark on pop culture, but I don't think this is something... I don't know if this is really a movie you would need to watch to have any sort of bearings or understanding of what you're seeing or the callbacks that you're getting, because those callbacks are what will stick out to you anyway, right? Like, there's no, like, sense of depth or understanding you would gain from watching Flash Gordon that would make those jokes land any better.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess if you've watched Ted and you feel like you don't get the part where Sam Jones shows up and they do a bunch of visual references and references to the theme song, if you don't get that and you feel like you want to, then I say just look up a few clips on YouTube. You'll get the idea.
Yeah, there's no point in watching this whole movie that would make you go, "Oh, now I understand the depth of a movie that has a CG teddy bear in it."
Exactly. That memorable movie we're all still talking about, Ted.
Yeah, I talk about it daily.
Of course. Yeah, I you know, before the terrific pandemic we're living through, I went on the Universal Studio backlot tour at Universal Studios Hollywood, and one of the stops there is we went like by the director's bungalows that are sort of in the back of the lot, and there's a Ted statue which got pointed out and a lot of people took pictures of. So there you go. Ted, still alive on the Hollywood backlot tour.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it would be hard for me to straight flat out recommend. If you got time to kill, you've always been curious, you have a free rental of it, or someone has the, you know, a DVD or Blu-ray they can let you borrow, and you want to have a fun drinking night, but drinking responsibly, because if you were to go to level camp with this, probably kill you with the level.
Yeah, don't do a drinking game just with this movie.
Just have a few drinks, you know, drink a little Snoop Dogg weed wine or whatever it is that forces yep. drink it. You
Cali
know,
Red, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, 19 Crimes Cali Red. Blended by Sir Snoop Dogg himself.
Yeah. And you know he knows how to blend because he could roll blunts anyway.
Yeah, like, sure, those are analogous skills.
It's the same thing. I don't know how wine's made.
But I also thought about this a little bit, and does it belong in your, the listener's personal pantheon if it isn't there already? Or can it be skipped? And the 80s movie is born out of the serials and the comics. And those are the things that inspired George Lucas, not this movie. The serials and the comics are what inspired him to create Star Wars. And so I think as a pop culture touchstone, the property of Flash Gordon is important and cool. And if you want to look that up, and if you want to experience some of that content, I say go for it. But I don't think this 1980s movie is, I don't know if it's the most important part of the what makes up Flash Gordon. So what I would say is, you know, research, read some comics, look at some of those old serials, maybe understand that it is a product of its time, and it has parts of it that are not, that are uncomfortable to some and probably downright insulting to others. But if you want to understand its place in pop culture, do that. I don't think you necessarily need to see this movie. Like, just if there's a music video on YouTube that is just parts of this movie with the Queen song, I think that's maybe the optimal way to experience this.
Yeah,
I had fun watching it with the old missus, but I don't think I would ever say, hey, you gotta see Flash Gordon. Oh, you haven't seen Flash Gordon? Oh my god, you gotta see it. No.
Yeah, 10 times out of 10, I'd be like, you've never seen Masters of the Universe? We're watching Masters of the Universe. At no point would I be like, and even that one is arguably super fringe on pop culturedom there, but
yeah, I would. It's a lot more watchable.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think that's where I would say I wouldn't recommend it. But if you like it, then that's great. It exists, and they're always talking about making another one. So, so any closing thoughts on this quote-unquote movie?
Dive! Away from this movie. But
good recommendation.
Dive! See, watch this segue, because I realize we don't do this often enough. So check this segue out. I'm working on this shit. When Fresca finally hits us up. Dive! Into our social media. Instagram.
Wow, that was so smooth. Wasn't I have, it? Yeah.
As smooth as Fresca.
Trundling its way down your throat.
Yeah, oh, that's a word. Wow, you killed my segue. No, follow us on Instagram at The Pop Saga. You can buy t-shirts if you want on TeePublic at The Pop Saga, or on Twitter at, I think it's The Pop Saga as well. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody, get them listening. New year, newer Pop Saga. Actually, same old shit. We curse a lot more. And, we ramble a lot more. That's our promise for 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we aim to make this a half hour and a half episode, and who knows what will happen after John works his editing magic, but it's clearly it's almost 3 hours long. So at this point, that's I mean the Pop Saga promise. So we want to just say from all of us to all of you, Happy New Year. It's 2020. Let's kick this one off right. Do yourself a favor, kick it off right by not watching Flash Gordon 1980. As always, what we like to say is stay happy, stay healthy, and we'll see you next week.
Saga, you know we keep it groovy. We talking cartoons, books, TVs, and movies. A couple of nerds, but got style. We so cool. Pop culture, talking new and old school. Yeah, you should know we love hip hop. From the roots, Talib, shout out to Pharaoh Munch. We giving you what you want. It don't get no liver. Ain't no doubt we got you. This is Pop Saga. Let's go. Oh yeah, you heard right. This is a lifestyle. Welcome to the nerd life. Pop Saga.